Hey guys, welcome back to the Blade Runner Minute, our podcast where we talk about the movie Blade Runner one minute at a time, sort of. I'm Pete.
And I'm Sandra.
And today we're talking about minute 102. It's not 102, Sandra.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Because that would be mean a decimal point between the 100
Thank
and the
you.
2. Okay? It's 102. And,
it doesn't bother you when people say, like, 110?
I mean, I recognize that it's wrong, but it wouldn't bother me. Fucking hunger bothers me, you know? War bothers me.
It annoys my ears.
So minute 102 starts with Deckard defending himself against...
Wait a second. It doesn't annoy your ears?
Jesus.
Like when people say use?
No. Not as bad as reading things like your, and your. You know what I mean? Apostrophe R-E.
That annoys your eyeballs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. My ears don't get annoyed as easily as my eyes do.
Because use
Too, I hate that.
Use.
You're too much, T.O. Come on, man.
Use
is something
use.
That bothers me. But people tend not to type use.
Yes, they do. I read four of them this week.
I very rarely read use as much as the incorrect two and the incorrect your and the incorrect there.
And the worst part is they mean use like you with the S at the end? No, sometimes they write use like I use you.
Oh, yes, I have seen that. That's a horrible
because
thing.
Because they mean use like
Y-O-U-S. Oh, no. That's a horrible, horrible thing and God's going to get you for that one.
See?
Yeah, I've seen that. Use. U-S-E. As you know, in place of use.
As in the plural.
Y-O-U-S, which is wrong to begin with.
It's not like Spanish where there's usted and ustedes. Like, I don't understand their problem.
Well.
Sorry.
Be that as it may.
Sorry. I'm really sorry.
Minute 102 still starts with Deckard defending himself against Roy, and it ends with Deckard and Roy on the ledge of the Bradbury building. Or a ledge of the Bradbury building.
Yes.
They're out on the ledge, man.
Out on the ledge.
Sandra, kick it off. Kick it off. Do it. What do you got? What'd you like? What'd you love?
Sorry, my fruit and veggie smoothie had like a clump, but I got all like freaked out just then
because
I don't like.
Jesus Christ!
I got a problem with textures. I'm good.
No,
I'm okay.
Sit this one out, champ.
Just, no, I'm gonna give me some
okay.
beer.
So Deckard hits.
No.
Now my delicious flat tire beer. Fat tire.
Says, it's not a flat tire.
My delicious flat tire beer is gonna have you disgusting smoothie. Skunk stink.
It
all
tastes
over the...
like fruit. Try it.
Get that the hell away from
you
me.
You used to drink smoothies all the time.
I drank a very specific fruit smoothie in the Manhattan Mall years ago.
From Surf City.
From
Just
Surf
try
City,
it.
And that's it. Get it away from stop. This is unwanted physical contact.
And it didn't even touch you.
An HR complaint waiting to happen. You push that cup in front of me one more time.
You want our daughter to try new things, so should you.
I told her a long time ago, do what I say, not what I do.
Okay. So Deckard had grabbed this pipe, and he whacked at Roy in the face with it.
So hard that Heffa Roy goes out of a window.
Yeah, he falls and breaks the window.
Yeah.
And then he goes to hit him again. And
Still makes full contact.
Makes contact, but then Roy grabs the pipe.
Roy grabs the pipe.
That's the spirit.
They're
Did
fighting.
I do it?
They're
Did I do it?
Yeah, I liked it. Okay. They're fighting over the pipe for a second or two. And yeah, Roy's like, that's the spirit. He's so happy, he's smiling.
But I did
a
good?
Yeah, he did a great job.
Deckard releases the pipe.
Yeah.
And he runs out the door.
He doesn't just run
through the door. He crashes through the door.
Yeah.
Into a room that has like this big, moldy, dusty armchair.
I want that chair.
Even with the pigeon poop?
No, I'll clean the pigeon poop off. That's a big comfy.
If
Fred will reupholster
poop,
it for
wait,
us.
Wait, if bat poop is called guano, is all bird poop called guano?
It depends. If it's pigeon poop, it's puano. Because bats, there's like a silent G in it, so we use the G for the guano.
What?
I'm sorry, what?
Anyway, Deck crashes into this room with that weird, dirty armchair.
Mm-hmm.
Pigeons are flying everywhere, and you hear their little, like...
Great.
Caw!
Why
noises.
Are there... All right.
What sound does the pigeon make?
It's an old...
There you go.
Ooh,
there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Barbles. Whatever. But they're funny noises, and he breaks a window, and he climbs out. I'm sorry, my feet are cold on your floor.
Yeah, he kicks out a window.
He kicks out the window, and he is on the ledge next to the Bradbury. You want to talk about the outside of the Bradbury?
Great shot.
It's a great shot.
Great shot of the roof and the that corner shot like that. with the matte painting just below.
Just goes to show that JF was on the second to highest floor, and that this was the top floor, okay. And above them is the roof.
All right.
So, all but right. On the left side, it's always the left side, is the painting of the city, as they as their background.
And the right has a matte painting as well.
Yeah, that's what the swirly twirly columns are, right? That we also saw downstairs. No, the
columns aren't a matte painting. I'm pretty sure those were probably inserted digitally afterwards.
Okay. Not digitally. Because they matched the columns that were downstairs that were swirly twirly and
probably a photograph of the same columns, and they just moved them up on the on the image. But the street and the buildings in the distance.
That's the left side.
There's something on the right too. It's a corner shot. The corner is the building is centered. And then there's a left and right street view.
I didn't notice a right street view. I saw the building the Bradbury, on the whole right, where you see the corner.
As it just expands further down along the screen.
See.
Okay, yeah, you're probably right. Yeah.
But I noticed that there was stuff added to it. So I don't know if this is actually the Bradbury or what they supposed the outside of the Bradbury would be. Because obviously those twirly-whirly fat columns were added.
Mm-hmm.
And then on that same thing with the twirly-whirly fat columns... are these white horizontal pieces?
Yeah, they look like they probably should have been lights.
Maybe lights, like pods of some kind. I don't know. They were something. Yeah,
it's very alien-esque everything right now.
It looks like they were additions. Oh, were you going to say that too? They were additions. That's
no, it looks like Alien. His film Alien, the movie. Yeah, it's very Geiger-ish.
He got all these weird doodads and parts and pipes and things all over the walls and hoses and things that don't have a real purpose.
The additions that you're talking about, they almost look like the top of the alien's head. Remember the...
Yes, the round...
Yeah, but white. They look like they're lights that don't work right now.
Maybe.
And there's this long hose along the side. It looks like the ship that... I forgot the name of the ship that they find on the alien planet.
Now, where Deckard is climbing out of, we do see a conduit, like the kind you see usually hanging vertically on buildings that they use to transport trash, I guess, from the top of the building, or like a vent line. But plastic, it's just, you know, big conduit that goes across the ledge where he's standing.
The hose. Yeah. A giant hose.
I don't really call it a hose.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they suck things through it.
Oh, like a transportation hose for construction crews when they just drop bricks and stuff down the...
Exactly.
Okay, sure.
So that's what it looks like to me, just put...
A chute.
Exactly, the chute. Yeah. It's just put horizontal. It's a weird place that they would have it. I wonder why it would be there entirely, except that it's perfect for Deckard to slip onto, so we could see how inept he is when he moves his body at all times.
Yeah, I called all these things classic Ridley layering. It's Ridley layering at its finest.
It's like he went to Home Depot, found a whole bunch of stuff, and threw it on his
set. That's exactly what happened.
Same thing with the Pottery Barn stuff. Like, he went to Pottery Barn, I like this stuff, just put it here.
That's exactly what he was instructing people to do, just grab me stuff that I can... stick onto existing stuff to make it look like used stuff that has multi functions and things like that. But did we skip past the part where Deckard swings on a thing?
No, so we're up to that. So he climbs and he starts to lose his balance and he holds on to this metal thing.
This triangular...
I'm going to call it a flagpole even though it's not a flagpole.
Was it the frame of a shutter?
It didn't look like the frame of a shutter. It kind of looks like something that would hold a banner outside of a building. But it's a metal pole that swings, and it has a triangle metal piece attached to it that's big. And he slips, and he grabs onto it, and it swings him out a little, and then he uses it to swing back to the building.
And that's all him. Or mostly him. That's mostly Harrison Ford doing all these stunts, climbing out of the window.
So then it can't actually be the bad guy, right? So it's all a set.
That's all a set.
It reminds me of the things that they would use to, like, swing... a bucket from one side to another. Like, when you're watching those old railroad movies...
And they
would hang something, and it reminds me like that old mailbag, or they would hang a bucket on it.
Yes.
And I've seen that on construction sites as well. I wouldn't know what it's called, but again, I'm going to refer to Money Pit, because I remember seeing it in Money Pit, to bring like a bucket from one side to another. But he swings on it, because he lost his balance, because that's what Deckard always does. And he swings back to the building, and we still hear Roy howling. Crazy person.
Yeah, back inside.
And then and it fits this music that suddenly come back because you didn't even realize that the music had gone away for a little.
And there's a shot of him in there, kind of like, I guess, recharging his batteries. He's just sitting there trying, and he's howling, and he looks dizzy. Yeah, he's going crazy.
He's just having a good time.
And then he suddenly bursts out of the shot. He like runs
Deckard
out of the
starts
shot.
To struggle walking on this ledge. You can see him clearly struggling with his mangled hand and this conduit thing across the bottom of the ledge. There's no real room for him.
Right.
And he goes to turn the corner, and he's probably like, oh, I'm finally going to get there.
Right.
And there comes Roy running through the window.
Kicks
the window in.
Yeah, kicks out some boards.
Right to where Deck is heading. That's right. And he has white-soled sneakers on.
Okay.
So you can see his bright white sneakers at the bottom, but I don't know. I guess the tops are dark.
Rutger?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't notice.
And he goes...
Did he have them on the whole time, even when he was prancing through the
apartment? I think he was wearing those same sneakers, but the tops are dark, so you can't really tell.
Huh.
But they're white-soled when he kicks through, because
okay.
You can see the white flash.
I wonder... All right.
And he says, that hurt.
That hurt?
That hurt. Now, does he... He couldn't very well mean kicking in the window, but really he means the pipe.
No, he means getting hit. That was irrational of you, he tells Deckard.
And he's like half climbing out, and Deckard starts to back up through what he just went through, and he was like, that was irrational of you. Hitting him with the pipe or running out on the window ledge? Because it could be either. They're both irrational.
So the guy who ran through a wall and is spouting off nursery rhymes at his prey, supposedly, assumingly,
still prey
is calling
Deckard
the
irrational.
Other guy irrational.
Yeah. That's... Who stripped naked to chase him.
The guy who took all his, rubbed himself in his lover's blood, stripped naked, and ran through a house, put his head through a wall while he's counting and saying these terribly irrational things is calling Deckard irrational.
The absurdity of it.
The absurdity of it all.
The absurdity of it. I don't even know, like, how do you write somebody like Roy? How do you write that? Who comes up with that? Explain it to me.
I don't know.
Because he wasn't written like this either, right? This is a collaboration.
This was a collaboration between Hampton Fancher and... I want to say David Peoples?
But it's also Rutger Hauer.
Michael Dealey was the producer, so David Peoples. I was almost going to say Michael Peoples. And Rutger Hauer inserted a lot of stuff.
Yes.
I mean, the body language, the facial expressions, the little eccentricities here and there of every time he reacts, all his reactions, half of those are just... I said all, and then I said half. So, a lot of it
do
is...
Do that math. 150% of...
100% of the time, he was doing 50% of his own thing. It was all Rutger Hauer. I feel like Roy would act this way. I feel like Roy would behave this way.
I know we've talked about this before, but who else could have played Roy?
Well, I already suggested that I strongly think Gene Hackman would have made a great Deckard. I know how that sounds, but in 1982...
Wait. Gene Hackman can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, I think Gene Hackman would have... It would have been a completely different movie,
He's
obviously.
An author now.
Yes, he is. But I think Gene Hackman, 82, would have made a great, great Rick Deckard. Roy Batty? Oh, Christopher Walken. We talked about this.
Yes.
Yeah. Gene Hackman and Christopher Walken could have done a great job.
Totally different movie.
Totally different movie. But Walken as Roy Batty, I dig it. I'm picturing his face right now when he was young, when he was in, like, Deer Hunter. He's got those eyes popping, and he was all skinny and... With the blonde hair, they'll still dye his hair blonde. Let's assume, even though I think that was a Rutger Hauer idea.
No. Oh well.
Yeah, I think he came in to meet Ridley Scott with the blonde hair and these oversized sunglasses and this weird outfit.
They purposely make his hair.
And he freaked Ridley out. Ridley didn't want to hire him because of this meeting, but he just gave him a chance. I think people were fighting for him.
Do you think Pris and him purposely had the same kind of hair? The color was very similar.
It's possible that once, who knows how much of this film Rutger Hauer influenced after everybody started meeting him, from producers, writers, directors, once people started meeting him saying, you know, because of him, how about she looks like this? Or because of him, how about this fight lasts like this?
Didn't she think of the makeup that way and that look?
I don't know. My honest answer to you is I don't know, but...
Because I had read somewhere
speculating, I say Rutger Hauer helped shape the way this movie wound up being.
Yeah, I read somewhere that she came into the audition with the crazy hair and the crazy makeup.
Oh, really?
And dressed that way, that the original idea was not this. It was supposed to be a very pretty, prissy girl.
Like a baby doll.
Exactly. And she went with it a totally different way, and they liked it. They didn't expect it, and they liked it.
Yeah, I don't remember reading about that or hearing about that. That's great. Makes sense.
I guess that's what the good actors do, right?
I guess so. Daryl Hannah wasn't aggressive enough in her career, was she? I guess it must be harder for women to...
It's much harder.
Stop it. Don't get old. Don't get confident like that.
No.
But my point is, Rutger Hauer can walk into a room, dressed like a clown, and get to star in a movie with Han Solo, directed by Ridley Scott, you know. But if Sean Young dresses up like Catwoman and goes on a TV show...
It sounds crazy.
She's a lunatic, and that's it. She barely works ever again.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you're right. It's
You can also tell it's harder because there's fewer well-known older actresses than there are older male actors.
Sure.
The shelf life is different. You'll always lament that Gretchen Mol is not the big old superstar that she should be.
Yes.
Because you love her.
Yeah.
And you would have her babies.
I would let her get me pregnant and have her babies.
Exactly what I meant.
Yeah, I'd push... Oh, jeez, let's stop it right there.
But really, realistically...
Push her babies.
Think of the older female actresses, and you can only name a handful.
No, and even when they get older, there are very few Clint Eastwoods and Robert Redfords on the female side of the acting...
Who they still hire to play roles... where their love interest is 20-something years younger than them.
Right.
And everyone just says it's believable, and that's not even part of the plot, that there's a big age difference. Or they're still...
They're still the sheriff of the town.
You hire Helen Mirren for a movie where her love interest is 20, 30 years younger than her, and that's the main plot of the movie, about how she's with a younger man.
And she's not the sheriff or the president either.
She's the grandma.
She's just sitting there sewing for 2.5 hours.
It's like the First Wives Club. Yeah. She was, and Goldie Hawn goes for an audition that she was up for this main big role,
right.
And it turned out they wanted her for the mother of the main character, and her husband's new lover was
the
main character, Elizabeth Berkley.
Oh my god!
And she was like, "They want me. I'm nobody's mother." But that's really the reality of it.
It's funny how. You get however many women were in that movie, First Wives Club, 3 or 4
leading
actresses from the 80s
and
90s.
Diane Keaton and Goldie Hawn.
And the only jobs they had for them was to shove them in a movie where it's
where
a commentary on them. Yeah, it's a meta commentary on the reality of their careers.
Exactly.
Right. Whereas Kurt Russell or Russell Crowe or these guys that are hitting the 50s and 60s,
are playing
70s. They're still the sheriff. They're still wrangling the bulls or whatever the hell you wrangle. You know,
they're
whatever.
The CEO of whatever.
Right.
And Goldie Hawn. No, Diane Keaton's latest movie is about how she lives at a nursing home and she's dying and she wants to be a cheerleader. That's the club she wants to start to be involved.
But Harrison Ford is still Rick Deckard.
And he's still Indiana Jones.
Still Indiana Jones. Still Han Solo.
And Russell Crowe is playing the future. The story of. The guy who started Fox News.
Oh my god, I hate to keep this up, but it's true because somebody could argue, well, Carrie Fisher was still Princess Leia. Yeah, but and she was sitting there, dude, for like both movies. She got up once in episode 8 and shot a gun. But she wasn't jumping in the cockpit of the Millennium Falcon and running around and getting her hands dirty.
And like, people would say it's because she can't. Well, did you ask her to?
Yeah, I would have loved to see Carrie Fisher
jump on like a speeder.
Yeah. Real quick, you could have CGI'd her onto a speeder.
Well, CGI'd the rest of it.
What's the problem? Maybe the next one, maybe the last one, because I heard they're not killing her off.
But
maybe they'll have her jump on Chewbacca and ride him.
But you see why women get upset? Like it's.
I didn't mean in a sexual way. Ride him like a beast.
No,
like take me here, and he's on all fours, and she's saddling up Chewbacca.
You can't do that to Chewbacca. You can't saddle Chewbacca.
No, it's not Peter Mayhew anymore.
Doesn't matter.
It's a younger dude. He could take it.
That's not the point.
Oh, that's not the point. Okay.
Can't ride people like that.
I thought we were empowering women. What better way than to...
You can't push others down when you're trying to empower yourself. It doesn't work that way.
What better way than to computer animate Carrie Fisher's face...
But you see what I mean about, like,
onto somebody else's body and have her ride... No, you wait. And have her ride Chewbacca across Tatooine.
You've argued with me for years
about this. No, I'm not done yet. Into the sunset. And that's how you end the Skywalker saga.
How many suns in the sunset?
2. What do you mean?
Just making sure.
Binary.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you said Tatooine. I forgot.
Yeah, Tatooine.
I kind of wasn't listening. I didn't.
That's a nice little spin they should put on it. If Luke's dead and everybody's bitching about it, just make Leia the focus. Have her wield a lightsaber. Don't even kill her off. Have her face superimposed onto some other actress. Don't CGI it. Just do what you can, like they did for the mother in Sopranos for her last episode, and just have Leia break out a lightsaber and kill all the bad guys. And that's how you end the saga. It was all about her the whole time. It was about all the Yoda ghosts, and they're talking.
How many Yoda ghosts would there be?
It's Kim.
One for each puppet?
It's him, it's Yaddle.
It's one for each type of puppet they had, right?
It's all the different Yodas. It's the episode one puppet. It's the friggin' OT puppet. It's the CGI versions for the prequels. And then the mumpy puppet that they had for episode 8. Where he looked like he had the mumps.
Terrible. You've been arguing with me about this for years. About the roles.
That women have in movies?
Yes. Now why suddenly this epiphany that you're like...
It's not an epiphany. Right. We talked about it. I agree.
And the only way women really win an Oscar is if they make themselves look ugly.
That's probably not true, though. Well, don't look at me like that.
Only won an Oscar after having to have sex with Billy Bob Thornton in Charlize Theron won because she had a mullet and a fake... Nicole Kidman won because she wore a fake nose.
Just to be clear, everybody that has sex with Billy Bob Thornton gets an Oscar automatically. They mail it to your house. They're like, here you go. You can. It's made out of gold. You can pawn this and make some money. And
okay.
It's like an apology. Thank you so much for having sex with Billy Bob Thornton.
Angelina Jolie doesn't have an Oscar, does she?
If she had sex with Billy Bob Thornton. Yeah, they were married, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Like making out in front of John Voight, her dad.
You just squinched your face off when you said it.
Because I remember her from... I mean, she's still beautiful now, but in the 90s especially. Since she was with that Muppet.
But she was, like, wearing his blood in a necklace, right? Or something? I don't know if she's weird. It doesn't matter. But that's not the point.
That miserable...
Those are three examples of actresses.
What the hell was she doing with that miserable chunk of a human...
Maybe that miserable chunk of a human made her happy.
What do you think about this action figure, Legolas? Yeah, I thought so.
He's marrying Katy Perry. What does he know?
That's the real Orlando Bloom or Jordan or whatever his name is. That's a toy, honey. It's not real. This isn't Puppet Master Minute. Do you want to do the Puppet Master Minute?
No.
Do you remember the Puppet Master movies?
I have no desire to watch the Puppet Master movie.
I bet you never even seen a Puppet Master movie.
I don't want to see it. I'm good. I'm quite all right.
Puppet Master. I used to rent those. I'd go to the video store. I forgot how many there were. There's like,
you know, we haven't talked about Blade Runner in like 10 minutes.
Oh, I'm out of material. I'm just.
We're just BSing now. It's the Sandra and Pete show.
I haven't sat with you and talked comfortably. Like, we're transitioning back into the room. Back into the apartment.
We talk all the time.
Yeah, but not about Blade Runner.
What's the difference?
Because we're not talking about Blade Runner now.
So you just want to shoot the shit?
What?
Yeah.
What happened?
No.
Talked myself into a little crescent there.
A crescent?
Yeah. It was like a half pipe of discussion on one side and then rolling back to the other.
Okay. What would you like to talk about?
Blade Runner.
Okay, let's do that.
Roy and Deckard are on the roof. On the ledge, rather.
You see, senor?
And I just spoiled where they're headed. Sorry about that. And
there's no other choice but to go up, so it doesn't matter.
The ending,
he can't get down. It's easier to go up than down.
Well, you never know. Maybe Deckard's about to slip and fall.
Dead.
And that's the end of the movie. What? That was irrational of you.
How many more minutes we got? We got like, what, 15 minutes?
It's about 17 or 16 minutes left in this movie.
We got 15 minutes.
That's including the credits, though, I think.
15 minutes, including the credits.
Yeah. So maybe... Maybe 8 or 9 of the actual film.
It's practically, 15 minutes.
It's practically over. Now they
have
to...
And we have no plan for the credits yet.
They have to go up to the roof and catch the spaceship. Mm-hmm. And then go back to E.T.'s planet.
So we're going to be done at the end of summer?
We'll be done by the end of the summer. I want to do a commentary track. I don't know if I've talked about this publicly.
Yeah, you woke up in the morning...
Yeah.
Spouting some nonsense to me. I was like, I'm trying to get ready for work. What's your problem?
Okay, you want a good closer for the show? Fine. You want to mention me waking up this morning, the first thing I said? Do you know why? That was the first thing
I
said.
Were you dreaming of Fred in your sleep? Because that's really sad.
I had a dream.
You were dreaming about Chad. That's sad.
I had a dream. I was going over my notes for the show, and I was coming home with groceries, and I got locked out of my car. But I was walking home from the store.
With your notes.
So I didn't need... I was going over my notes digitally with like one hand with the phone and one hand had a paper bag full of groceries.
You have never went grocery shopping.
And hold, stop, don't, because I'm going to forget it, because I'm trying to remember. That's when you forget your dreams.
Okay.
And I'm walking to... It's through my mom's old neighborhood to like closer towards... It's not my building. It's... I'll draw a map of my old neighborhood where I grew up and put it on Facebook so you guys could know what the hell I'm talking about. But anyway, and I know I didn't need to go to my car because I was walking from the store, which is close enough, like 2 blocks from the house. Right. I was going to my building to go home. And I didn't try to go in my car or anything like that. I didn't look for my keys, but I knew I didn't have my keys. And I knew I was locked out of my car. And I was very upset. And I needed a charger for my phone. I think that's why I wanted to get back. I could have just went home and did all these things. It was weird. I was like forcing myself to be trapped outside of my car when I didn't need to be in my car at all.
What's that have to do with your idea?
Alan Sanders shows up. I swear to God. And he's just like our neighbor, like walking his dog or something. He's down the block, hey, buddy, what happened? I'm like, yeah, you know, it's going to die. I got the notes. I don't know what to do.
You're dreaming of Alan now?
I swear to God, you just reminded me. This just...
What was he wearing?
No, it doesn't...
He naked?
A plaid shirt and khakis.
T-shirt or long sleeve?
Khakis or jeans.
T-shirt or jeans?
I just said
a plaid shirt.
Long sleeve. Like a long sleeve.
A long sleeve.
With an extendable leash for his dog.
So he looked like George Lucas.
But I didn't see the dog.
So he was just
Like George Lucas, actually. And it was Alan. We were talking about the show, and I was like, I want to do a commentary track. And, you know, maybe you can come over, because we lived in the same... This is crazy, right? The same building. And then the next thing I know, we're in the house, like, along the couch, and I'm yelling at...
Making out.
And I'm yelling... No, Alan's gone.
Oh.
And I'm yelling at Chud. It's me, you, Fred, and Chud. And I'm yelling at Chud to get off the chase, the edge of the chase, because you're depressing your I don't like the impression you're leaving on my pillow. Your
butt impression.
Yeah, your what is it? What am I trying to say? Like your butt. You're making an uneven impression on the chaise.
Okay.
Either lay down on the goddamn chaise or sit on a chair at the dining room while the rest of us.
He always sits on the corner and smushes it.
And then I realize, how am I gonna do the commentary for this movie? Because we can't hear the movie playing. Like, if I just put a microphone in the middle of the table in the living room and we just play the movie and then talk about the movie while it's playing to do our commentary track, you're going to hear the movie. So how do I do it? So I woke up instantly, saw you getting ready to go to work, and I said, how are we going to do the commentary track today, this morning? That was the last part of the dream. I was talking to you in my dream. I didn't realize I was up, but you left, so I didn't have a chance to tell you. Oh, yeah, I lost my mind a long time ago. It's over with. I'm just crazy. But no, I'm passionate about the podcast.
Headphones?
I love it. I don't know. I'll figure it out. I'll Google it or something. I'll ask people. I'm sure...
Alan's going to call you. He's going to come walk his dog and come tell you. Does he have a dog?
I don't know. But I'm sure people will hear this episode and then chime in how we can do the commentary tracks. I'm not worried about that.
We suck at this. You know that, right?
This is exactly, and I swear to my life, on my life, to my life, on my life, to my life, to me, on me, I swear this is exactly what I had planned when I wanted to do...
I feel really bad for the people who have stuck with us from the very beginning.
I know, because I think...
And I really appreciate them.
I think we're giving people something totally original, because we don't care. We're the naked guy on the train on that episode of Seinfeld where he goes to Coney Island.
Okay, so...
So that's my dream. I'm obviously in love with Alan Sanders.
Okay, so to recap, you're in love with Alan Sanders. You need to figure out how to do a commentary like Mystery Science Theater style.
Yes.
Where we can record without hearing the music pick the actual... movie pick up on the mic that we're speaking to.
We're
going to
have to watch the movie mute. On mute.
Then how would we talk about it? That's ridiculous. No.
And just yell. Because you're going to have... We'll have the movie... Alright. How about we pipe the movie into the headphones? We all wear headphones. And then we scream the commentary over the headphone volume.
Fantastic.
To each other.
So what else? Rutger Hauer is awesome.
Yeah.
Deckard's really... klutzy.
Deckard's klutzy, but Harrison Ford is a tough hombre. Because we talked about how he did all these stunts himself. I'm gonna say all of them.
I don't think so.
May have been most of them, but in this scene that we're seeing right now, in these last 2 minutes, where he's coming out of the window, walking on the wet
ledge. It's just a ledge. It's not like it's actually high above the ground. It's
and
probably
swinging,
a foot.
Swinging on the metal triangle.
BS. He was a young man. That's not a stunt.
He wasn't.
Sorry.
I shouldn't say he wasn't a young man, but he was 33 when they did Star Wars. So 77, 78, 79, 80, 81.
Years.
So he was like 37. That's not. Young man.
He's not old.
No,
man.
Of course not. But he was, you know, 25 is a young man. 20.
Tom Cruise still does his own Mission Impossible stunts. So,
yeah, but he's like a pixie. When he hits the floor, he doesn't. He has no weight. He hits the floor. It's like a piece of paper hitting the floor. It's fine. It's...
Oh, Peter also thinks this was his original plan of what the podcast would be like, but that's. BS. I'm recapping what we've talked about.
Oh, okay.
That's BS, and you didn't let me tell you that.
That I wanted it to be chaotic and just lo-fi and just us hanging out?
Yeah, because this was not your idea of us hanging out. It was supposed to be a rotating cast of who's sitting next to you.
Well, yeah, because I didn't know who I could trust to do this. My original idea was for you, but I didn't think you'd have time. I didn't know you would do this for me.
You said it would be you sometimes, it would be friends sometimes, it would be child sometimes.
I said that to comfort you so you wouldn't feel pressured, but I had no idea you were going to do this for me for a year.
We're going to do it for another year.
Sandra comes home from work for her lunch break at these times. We record in the afternoon on the weekdays, and this is it, man. She, like, shoves a little bit of food in her face and then sits down with my stupid, drunk, smelly ass for 2 hours and records this podcast for you guys. So I had no idea you would do that, and I would never have thought to ask you to sacrifice your time.
And you won't
like
even
that.
Vacuum for me.
I vacuumed once, remember?
Can you vacuum today before you leave?
'Twas the autumn of 2010.
Can you vacuum before you leave?
Today?
Yeah.
Nah, I gotta buzz my head, I gotta shower, I gotta...
It's 2:47.
I have a gig
you
tonight.
You don't have to leave until after 5.
I have a gig tonight.
In 2 hours, you can... I come home on my lunch break.
If anybody's in Bay
on
Ridge,
my lunch break.
You're listening to this in the future. So I'm calling to you from the past to tell you that tonight I'm playing in Bay Ridge, outside of the Hideout, an acoustic set, and I have to practice The Man Who Sold the World, Sandra. So I have to stay home for that, and then wash my butt, and then buzz my head, and then meet Fredo at the Schnitzel House.
Der Schnitzel House.
Der Schnitzel House.
I don't think it's Der Schnitzel House, but we're going to call it
that. Der Schnitzel House. The Schnitzel House. And that's my day. And tonight and tomorrow we're going to Great Adventure, so I need to rest. I need to rest. But you go back to work. Well, on that note, thanks for joining us, guys. Alan, I'm sure it's a friendly love. Don't get nervous, buddy. And see you guys for 103.
One more sigh, only this tear is goodbye, for our love is such pain and such pleasure. My bad.